Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini here along with my co-host Tim Moore. Tim, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, Rick?
Excellent, excellent. We got a special show today with the co-founder of Sela. It's John Lynn. And this particular show is to help young entrepreneurs understand more about the Sela organization. And for us to learn about John's mentors that he's had in his life and people that have made a difference in his life, and obviously to help us fulfill our mission of creating lives that matter. John, welcome to Success Made to Last.
Thank you, Rick.
Nice to have you on, sir. And would you be so kind to tell us about your own career path?
Yeah, sure. So I graduated in 2008, which was a very interesting time to come out of university for obvious reasons. I graduated from Washington University in St. Louis, where I'd had a number of leadership positions as a student and done well. But graduating into the May 2008 economy, things were fundamentally different for everyone that year. So without a sort of clear path ahead, began experimenting with all sort of different directions. I returned to one of my past passions, tennis, and began teaching. I began working for one of the presidential campaigns working that year and got introduced to political organizing, community organizing, and really resonated with the insight that that experience gave me. And so ultimately worked at a PR firm to flex some of my abilities as a writer and communicator. I worked at a financial firm here in Manhattan where I sort of awoke as a salesperson and evangelist. I was 25 at the time, working with much more experienced brokers, but quickly built the biggest book in the firm, was funding more than any two other brokers in that firm, and had a great early sales success in that experience. But after a couple of years, began to realize that I really wanted to reissue authority in my direction as a professional. And so I stepped back from finance, from sales, began to think about going back to school. And I was thinking about going to law school or business school, potentially going back to the creative side and literature and a creative degree and an MFA or something else. And as I was considering reorienting myself, as I'd stepped back from work, I was put into contact with my first accelerator organization. And accelerators, this is now back in 2012, had just begun to really make a name for themselves as platforms for early stage entrepreneurs to get a structured exposure to mentorship, to investors, to other entrepreneurs that could help them pass the first few hurdles of becoming an entrepreneur. So some of the best names in this space are Y Combinator, which was the birthplace or the one of the early partners of companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, many other startups that are now well known. Techstars, which I've been very close to for a long time, is another one of the big names here. And at that point, accelerators were really just becoming well recognized for their impact on startup ecosystems worldwide. So I had the opportunity to join a boot camp that Techstars Boston had organized. And they had organized this boot camp for the purpose of bringing together people, individuals that had some professional background, but wanted to get into entrepreneurship and maybe couldn't do it as an entrepreneur, didn't have access to funding, didn't have a business background, or didn't have a vision for a product or service that they wanted to move forward. But individuals who did want to get into startups. And at that moment, that really spoke to me. And so the idea was that individuals chosen for this boot camp would go through the boot camp, get connected to different startups and different investor groups in startup ecosystems, and then get a job at a startup. because after a startup raises money for the first time, its biggest challenge is finding great early employees. So I made it into this program. I moved to Boston. I was based in New York at the time and had a great experience. I encountered my first mentors, got my first great colleagues in the tech and entrepreneurship space, and actually was able to start a company by the end of the boot camp. So I was a little bit disobedient, didn't end up getting a job at a startup because the mentors that I encountered in this program were so supportive and guided me to the opportunity to start my own company. So we built a team, we built a product, we got into the market, we're having some success, got a term sheet, and then one of my co-founders had to step away. And this is the number one way that startups fail is founder fallout. 75% of startups, early stage startups, I believe, fail in this way. And so I had to wrap up that startup, and just at that moment was given an opportunity to go to Babson College and their MBA program, which is the number one entrepreneurship program in the world. And so I thought it'd be a great next step. Went into that program, turned out not to be a successful one, and had to leave by the end of the semester, of the first semester. But I was given an opportunity at Techstars New York City to help launch their one of their first New York City programs. So I moved back down to New York City, joined the Techstars New York team, and helped them set up one of the first Techstars accelerators in New York City, and got an opportunity to work with 10 startups that they had funded that ranged from a whole host of different technologies and business models. And from there had really become really entered the accelerator space as a professional. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was able to get an opportunity running an accelerator in New York City. And at that point, it was 2015. And the accelerator space had continued to grow. I had said earlier that in 2012, it was just becoming well recognized. By 2015, there were accelerators all over the world in every startup ecosystem that you can imagine. The numbers grew from 9 active accelerators in 2009 to 25 by the end of 2012. To 250 to 2,500 by the time we are in 2015. And so there were a number of programs now active in New York City that were looking to my experience for support. And so I started creating events for accelerators just on the side for the community. And that was really the birthplace of Sela. And what Sela does is we create industry events for accelerators, for innovation programs, for incubators, innovation labs, studios of all kinds in New York City and around the world. We also help build startup accelerators, and we've done that with some of the world's largest corporations. We've done it with universities, with government partners, with investor groups to actually build out an accelerator program that can help those organizations be more innovative. And so those are the two things that Sela has become recognized all over the world for. We run the only industry summit for accelerators called the Sela Summit. We'll be running that in 2020, September. And we continue to help advise and build accelerator programs here in New York City and beyond. So we've worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs of all kinds in that work. We've worked with hundreds of accelerators themselves. And so I have a pretty good insight into what entrepreneurs are dealing with and how mentorship can work, especially in an accelerator setting. We've spoken in China, in Japan, and just last week at the World Economic Forum in Davos on trends in accelerators and ways that it can really become the next structure for mentorship and education in the future. So hopefully that answers your question about my professional path, but also gives you a little bit of insight into what Sela is.
It sure does. Thank you for that. And along your path inside this industry, can you tell us about that singular mentor that you had and how they helped you pivot?
Sure. Well, there, first of all, are many, mentors that go into making any individual successful. In my personal experience, that is especially true. My ability to be in this position that I'm very grateful to be in now is due wholly to the selfless support of mentors that have helped at different stages in my path for different reasons and in different ways. So I have to say that before calling out any individual mentor that's been most powerful. And I don't even know if I can directly answer that question. But one of the first mentors that was super impactful and helped me take some of my first steps forward was a mentor that I encountered at that boot camp in Boston. So you recall, this is the boot camp that I had gone through to transition from being a financial professional to being a tech professional.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of this boot camp was to get a job working at a tech company. And so part of the way that they did that was to match each individual in the program, in the boot camp, with a mentor who had been a founder or investor or operator, employee in the Boston startup ecosystem. And so the mentor that I had been paired with was the founder of a startup that had been funded by Techstars and accelerated by Techstars. They were working on a project that addressed the book industry, the publishing industry. So that spoke to my background in literature and writing and reading. And so that was an existing connection we sort of had. And I was able to work on projects inside of their company and even be creative with their resources and building my own ideas. And the way that the CEO of that company, who was my mentor, Chris Howard, I'll share this with him when it gets published, so he knows I still appreciate it, was instrumental in helping me understand that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to talk about what you want to be doing and what excites you, and that people are more willing to support you when you are asking for help and when you are clear about what you really want. And that often it takes a lot of work to even know what kind of help you need or to even know what you want to accomplish. And so Chris was instrumental in helping me answer those questions for myself and then connect me to opportunities to make progress towards those goals and to get that help. So I can be specific about some of the ways that was done, or I can talk about other mentors, but I think that's a pretty good breakdown of how mentorship was really useful for me at an early stage, is understanding what kind of help I could ask for and what I really wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, I like that. You should know that I have mentored startups at Galvanize in Boulder and now in Austin.
Oh, Galvanize is great. They have a wonderful setup here in New York.
They do, and I think that they've got it right. But I have seen over the course of the last several years that accelerators were taking the place of some of the mentors that were there just out of the spirit of mentoring. And I wonder, I think there's a definite place for accelerators, and I think it's fantastic. But with the proliferation of them now, all accelerators cannot be equal. So for those that are thinking about starting their own accelerator, what advice would you give them so they can at least appear to be as world-class as maybe the top 100?
That's great. Yeah. And number one, you're right. It is a growing industry, and there are accelerators and incubators emerging, not just in every city in the world, but in many suburbs and many rural communities as well. They're becoming platforms for education in lots of ways. But I think as an entrepreneur, what you want to think about in working with an accelerator and choosing an accelerator to work with is to answer the two questions that I called out earlier, which is, what do you need and what do you want to accomplish? And if you challenge the accelerators or any investor or any partner or supporter that you come across with those questions, what can we accomplish together? If I come into your accelerator, if we work together, then what are we going to accomplish together inside of that program? Are we going to get investment? Are we going to make some of my first key hires? Are we going to come out with a really robust strategy for how I can get a first customer? Are we going to build out a great technology and a great product? There are so many things that a startup needs to do, and being focused about what you want to accomplish in every relationship, whether it's an accelerator, a mentor, or otherwise, is essential to driving those relationships to success. So regardless of how to curate or find, you know, the best possible accelerator, it's always best to be clear with them about what it is you need and how they will participate in helping you accomplish that as an entrepreneur. To the extent that your question is about how can these accelerators themselves be sure to be offering a high quality level of support, even if they are not tech stars or are not Y Combinator, the answer to me is also very clear. And it's to invest in making a very robust mentor community that can come in and is well prepared, well coordinated, to show up for the entrepreneurs, to understand that they need more than advice, that they need to be heard, that they need to be connected with other relationships in that mentor's network, and that the mentor needs to be ready to give forward their resources. If that's capital as an investor, if that's IP and technology, if they're a startup that has a team that can help this entrepreneur, or if it's partnerships that their startup has that can help the entrepreneur and the accelerator, mentors really need to be able not just to advise, but also to add to the coffers for entrepreneurs that are in the program. And if an accelerator can create a mentor community that is ready to do that, that understands the expectations for advice are high, but that also they are expected to really tangibly add to the resources of an entrepreneur, then that's the number one thing that any accelerator can do to stand really tall and strong as an entrepreneurial supporter.
Excellent. And I know that you have a very busy day ahead of you, but we have got one caller who has a question for you regarding who would you connect them to as an accelerator for their burgeoning podcast network and ecosystem?
That is a great question. So for a podcast startup that wants to be connected with the best possible accelerator. So there are a few accelerators that do focus on media opportunities and technology, and some that are even focusing on even more focused versions of media. But I think one of the first places that I think of, and they were one of our first partners as Stella, is Verizon 5G. And they really are investing heavily in helping entrepreneurs connect with their 5G technology, take advantage of low latency, and that's something that should speak directly not just to VR and video entrepreneurs, but also to audio attempts as well. So would love to get the caller connected with the Verizon 5G lab here in New York City.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you. We can probably make that happen. And John, with just a couple of minutes left, tell our listening audience how they can contact you and your organization, especially about all the different activities going on within your enterprise.
I appreciate that, Rick. Yeah, and any listeners should feel free to get in contact with us directly. We feel strongly that being accessible, being open is what makes accelerators so powerful, and it's something we try to emulate every day. So listeners here can email me directly at jfl@stella.nyc, and you can feature that in the blurb so that it's written out when you advertise this podcast. That's jfl@stella.nyc. Our team address is Stella, C-E-L-A, @stella.nyc. And more general inquiries can be made there. Keep an eye out for our events that aim to connect accelerators and founders. We do that in many different ways, and you can sign up for our newsletter to find out how to do that. And last is the Stella Summit. So we have our next Global Accelerator Summit happening later this year. So keep an eye out for it. It is likely to be covered by our friends at Forbes, NASDAQ, Fast Company, and other big publications. when we do it this year. And I would love for anyone in the audience to be sure that they're welcome to be involved.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And listen, congrats on climbing to the top or the apex of this and wanting to kind of own the ecosystem, because you could have been one of thousands of accelerators. And I want to have you back on so you can give us a state of the industry, to state of the union on accelerators, because it's a changing, moving object out there.
I'd be flattered to do that. I would love to be a continuing resource for the podcast. I'd resist the description that we own any part of the ecosystem. We are a resource for everyone, and are really indebted to everybody who is endeavoring to build one of these platforms for the opportunity to do so. So always love to recognize the effort it takes for the accelerator groups that we work with to do what they do.
Thanks for saying that. You can resist any part of the ecosystem at any time. That's great. Hey, John, thank you so much, and do join us again. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Rick. It's been great to be a part of this. I'm flattered to be featured as a guest, and look forward to speaking again.
You bet. Thanks again. That was our special guest, John Lynn, who's the co-founder of Sela. And he gave out his information, but it's CELA.NYC, and you can find out all the information there. And, Tim, we've got a couple of people coming up on future shows, and I know we've got Carol Carter coming up. Tell us about Carol Carter and what you know about Carol.
Well, I've known Carol since I guess 1984 or 1985, something like that. I was only 10 at the time, of course.
Of course.
And we were colleagues at Prentice Hall. Prentice Hall later became part of Pearson. And Carol had the notion in the early 90s to write a textbook for a course that was emerging in the United States called Student Success. And that course was emerging because of the proliferation of students going to college. You know, when I went to college, it was probably less than 20% of us that went to college. And by the 90s, it was, you know, 40% of America or some number like that.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly an awful lot of those people were people who might not have come from circumstances where they were ready for college. Carol wrote this book called Student Success, and it became a book that over the course of her career, she extended into, a series of books. I think she sold, Pearson sold over 3 million copies. She left Pearson to start a business around those books, and then later started a company called Lifebound, which is a coaching and professional development company aimed at professors and staffs at colleges around the world to help those students reach their best. And then she later, about 7 years ago, started another company called Global Minded, with the ED at the end, capitalized. Mm-hmm. And that's a company that's dedicated to helping first-time students around the world reach student and career success. So, you know, it's interesting to know someone when you were just a tyke in the business world, and then watch them do something that even in 1993 seemed awful risky, to go off on your own and publish books and start companies and stuff, and then go on to see her pursue that. I think Carol is emblematic of, you know, what we try to, the kinds of people we want to talk to, the emblematic of the tagline of the show. She's created a life that matters.
Indeed she has. And she's broken through the proverbial glass ceiling, if there is one out there, and running her own business and making a difference. And similar to Stuart Emery, sounds like she does it in a world-class manner.
Yes, she does. When you talk to Carol, you'll realize immediately that there's more than glass ceilings that she's broken through. She
made the glass.
She is a powder keg, a relentlessly optimistic person who I can't imagine she sleeps more than 2 hours a day, but I may be exaggerating, but she is a dynamo.
Excellent. Well, and what we hope to do with these future guests is to open up the lines for you folks to talk to them. And while we can't promise you that you can get all of your questions in through the new website, Success Made to Last, you're going to be able to post questions to future guests. And Tim and I will do our best to get those questions in so you'll be heard, because this dialogue is not just between Tim Moore and me and a guest. It's got to be between everybody so we all grow and we all create lives that truly matter. So until our next show, we're going to remind you that Success Made to Last is a multimedia company that's focused on unleashing your full potential to create lives that truly matter. At the heart of this company is our extraordinary curators of great stories, and really we're distributors of wisdom. Our number one responsibility, though, is to you, the listener, to help you grow to be the best version of yourself. Make sure and visit successmadetolast.com today for a good dose of wisdom and lessons learned. I'm Rick Tocchini, along with Tim Moore. Thanks, and join us again next time.
Cheers.
So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasini@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.